You're listening to
the Music Interval Theory Podcast with TC and Frank.
Intervallic thinking and the diatonic thinking, how they work together and in what ways they are different by just explaining what the quadrants are. So you are seeing this right side of this chart that is all connected to the diatonic system. On top, we have melodies, everything that is based on line writing. And in the diatonic system, we know the diatonic means pertaining to a scale. So this is all scale tone movement. And below this lower quadrant, we have chords. And this pretty much explains everything in the diatonic system. We have chords, scales, and then we can modulate. We can bring in counterpoint. We can do all the fancy things that conventional theory teaches us. Now, on the left side, we have the intervallic pendant. And on top, the upper quadrant, again, that is everything connected to line writing, to lines. Everything down here is connected to vertical structures. And I'm not saying chords purposely, because chords are just one aspect of the vertical structures. We refer to those guys as ICs, and this stands for interval combinations. And you can pick any IC. The chords are typically scale tone thirds stacked on top of each other and in different positions, like the position of the root, first inversion, second inversion. According to the diatonic system, chord tones are the odd numbered scale tones. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13. 15, by the way, is the repetition of the root tone in two octaves. That's the explanation why the 13th chord is the most complex chord structure, by the way. You can't go more complex than this. In interval theory, you can have complete clusters and still make sense out of them and voice lead them and use them and even combine them with the diatonic system. So how can we then transition between those quadrants? Because now we understand this is the diatonic side. That is the intervallic side. And the big question is, how can we make fluent transitions? Let's start with chords right here. The first thing that we introduce in lesson one as well is the matrix of modes. And that's the organization of the church modes, the seven main modes, and some other scales. It is the coordination of the chords or the vertical structures on the diatonic side and line writing. So this is the connection between chords and lines. We have to have some formula, like a scale, that defines what fits. Otherwise, it's just random stuff. If we just take a line and look at the line isolated, like from one note to the next, how many chromatic steps up or down is it? Then we stepped into string theory. And string theory is the terminology we use for everything line-based. This all connects to string theory because it's a little string. It can be a long one, but usually it's just 3 to 8 notes because that is what you can comprehend and remember as a motif. Now, we out of a sudden, if we removed everything like the scale and the root tone, if we got rid of all that, we are into string theory, which is fantastic because now we are free with lines. Now we can use those strings and transform them from horizontal to vertical. Because the distances can appear sequentially, then we have a line, or they can appear vertically, then we have a vertical structure. And we stepped into the world of ICs, interval combinations. Now you might be wondering why I call them main ICs, because this obviously excludes some of them. Yes, we exclude all the position changes of one structure because they are redundant. And this guy is just an interval combination that can live on its own. It doesn't have to be related to a scale, to a root, nothing. Now, the big question is, how do we organize those vertical things then with the lines? How do we judge all of that? Just by ear? No. No, it's via the overtone series or the harmonic series. This pretty much explains how the intervals behave, how the intervals want to move, to what places. And it's really interesting once you start seeing the natural behavior, because then you can work with this behavior or you can work against it. And out of a sudden, you play with the expectations of the listener and your audience. And that is pretty much how you organize the strings and your main ICs. Now, the moment we go to any IC and we put a root tone below it, now we can say that's the root. And we look at the tones on top and we just look, well, what are the scale tones then? If this is scale tone one down there, if that is our root tone, then you can go back into the diatonic system. And now we made it full circle. So those things, they complement each other. It's just a different perspective. And the funny part is, the longer you stay inside the diatonic system, the more you find these connections also on your own, I guarantee. That is why so many composers have their own theories and their own ways of breaking out of this typical C major, F major, A minor chord progression stuff with the regular scales that everybody uses, because it's generic. It can still be emotional. I'm not saying it's bad. It's generic music. Now the production comes into play to make it more interesting. I understand. What I want to do quickly is to show you some of these elements here, like string theory and the main ICs in action, because I'm a big fan of making things more practical. I want to show you a piece from lesson 6, and that is line writing. But those lines, they develop a life on their own, each of those lines, and they weave together to vertical structures. Absolutely. But they do it in a way that I only follow two guidelines. The first guideline is avoid doublings in octave positions. And if you do, then make sure that the two lines that stepped on the same note in an octave position move in contrary motion to each other. That is either towards each other or away from each other. And by the way, this is a rule or a guideline that came from choral writing. And everybody who studied formally knows this, because the moment you step on an octave position, you reduce the number of perceived voices. Out of a sudden, you move from, let's say, 3 voices to 2 voices that the audience will perceive. Another guideline, that's the second one now, is try to avoid 13s. And 13s are 13 chromatic steps between 2 notes vertically. The reason why that is a dissonant interval, it's not part of the overtone series. It doesn't show up, which means the moment you play it, it's dissonant. And all the jazz guys now scream out of a sudden, hey, Frank, that's a flat 9th chord. What you are talking about? This sounds beautiful. And I'm playing this all day long and it's fantastic. Yes, you are right. But guess why it works in the context of a flat 9th chord? Because you usually have scale tone -7 below it as support. If you remove scale tone -7 and only play, for example, a C and then a D flat in an octave position, it sounds very dissonant. And that is the reason why it doesn't work. Put it to a test and give 2 singers this 13 interval to sing. Those 2 guys, even if they are professional singers, they won't be able to intonate into a 13 easily, because it's so dissonant because of the overtone series. It's not in the sonic world around us. So this piece is just following these 2 guidelines, and all of the notes that we are looking at, they are actually scale tones. These little markings in blue, like number 3 on a B flat, this stands for a scale. It's an abbreviation for a scale system that we use. Scale number 3, by the way, would be the Dorian. So let me then play this thing to you, and you will realize that it actually sounds very fluent because each line is independent and the vertical connection is simply avoiding 13s. That's pretty much all I did here. So that is connected to string theory. And here we go. Thank you. I hope that you did hear those little strings show up, like the shape of this guy up there is pretty much the same as the shape of this guy here in the alto voice. So it is a lot of copy-pasting, absolutely. But the good news is it sounds very consistent this way, and each line has a wonderful independent life. Now, if I ask you, what's the chord progression? Obviously, that's a trick question. There is no chord progression. Intervallic thinking actually complements this thought. Same concept. We have four independent lines. This was my sketch down there, and this is what we will listen to on top. So let me make this a little bit bigger, and here we go. Yeah, again, no chord progression, nothing in there. But harmony, yes, of course. And that all connects to string theory.
This podcast is powered by the Music Interval Theory Academy, your resource for getting clarity and confidence in music composition and orchestration. See you inside at musicintervaltheory.academy.